Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have an important show, one I'm looking forward to because this is something very dear to me. I think a lot of pet parents out there have gone through life changes and connections with their pets that I don't think anything else can compare to. I remember at the beginning of COVID, there was a lot of people adopting pets, and I think it got people through a lot of hard times. And I don't think our loved ones, our pet loved ones, really are paid attention to as much as we should. I think there's a wealth of love and information in the animal kingdom. And I wanted to have somebody on who could actually speak to that. So I'm really pleased to welcome Ms. Shannon Cutts. She's an intuitive animal communicator, an educator, and Reiki master practitioner with animal love languages. She works through the universal love language of all species, deep listening, to connect with her pet clients. Deep listening activates empathy, allowing Shannon to literally feel what an animal is feeling, listen into their thoughts, experience what they're experiencing, and then relay all that information to the pet parent or animal guardian. And Ms. Cutts, I want to thank you so much for joining me, because I've had pets since I was a little child, and everything was different, or every pet was different, but I really don't think we really give them as much love and understanding as we otherwise could. So I want to thank you so much for joining me today.
It's such a privilege. Thank you so much for reaching out. You know, I look back over my 5 decades of life to date, and I can kind of benchmark different really important periods in my life based on the animal companion I was keeping company with at that time. And I look back on, for instance, there was my very first pet, as you just referenced in your own life. And, you know, it was BP and AP, before parakeet and after parakeet. And my life changed dramatically as a result, although my awareness of my own evolution was delayed. You know, it's kind of like when we're learning to drive and we've got, you know, our parent or our driver's ed instructor in the passenger seat doing the air brake and gripping the handrail. And, you know, we're not aware of what a brave choice it is to choose to keep such close company with a being that loves us unconditionally. And so often, we don't see the impact it's had on us until many months, many years, sometimes many decades down the road. And often it really kicks in when that animal is making their own end of life transition. And we start to kind of forecast, our fight, flight, freeze survival system kind of tries to forecast, what will life be like tomorrow when I wake up and my animal's body is no longer there? And that's when it hits us. This relationship is indispensable.
Well, one of the things that you've mentioned that really, when I looked at your website, was that they choose us. You know, we think of us being in the being that controls the relationship, but they choose us most of the time. Is that really correct?
Absolutely. I marvel, Dr. George, so often when I'm speaking with one of my human clients and their animal love, and I'm thinking, and we're talking about, you know, out of all the human animals on this planet and all the non-human animals on this planet, what kind of miracle must have to transpire for the two of us to come together to find one another? Because this bull pet thing, this is not an anomaly. But time after time, again and again, conversation after conversation, I speak with humans who say, I have never loved anyone the way I love this pet. And I feel so lucky and so honored. And so it's not an accident. But like so much of our life today, you know, like you opened up our conversation with, the comment about how we often don't realize it until much, much later in our life, and maybe never at all, because our lives are so fast-paced. And COVID gave us this uncomfortable year and a half or so where, like it or not, we had to spend a really good chunk of extended time in our own company. And some of us woke up and discovered I'm not having a lot of fun here. I'm not sure that my priorities are in order. And so, you know, we've seen a lot of folks shifting how they live and who is in their life based on some real deep, you know, navel gazing, as they used to call it, or soul searching. Mm-hmm. And our animals have been very much a part of making that happen.
Now, when we talk about connections, you know, as a human, it's all about verbal language. And, you know, mm-hmm. I believe I can communicate with my cat pretty well and my cats mm-hmm. in the past. But is there really, I know there's energy in every living creature, you know, but is mm-hmm. there, what is the language that we communicate? Is it love? Is it, what is the thing that basically ties us to each other?
Well, you know, we can answer that scientifically. We can answer that intuitively. But the simplest way to kind of give you a direct experience of that is, you know, have you ever just had a vibe mm-hmm. about somebody or something? You know, maybe it was a good vibe. Maybe it was not such a good vibe. Have you ever felt somebody staring at you, even though you weren't, your back was to them, and you turned around and by golly, they sure were staring at you. Have yes. you ever just known who was calling or who was standing at the front door before you went to check? And it's kind of a higher level function of our shared fight, flight, freeze, tender, befriend system. We so often forget about the tend and befriend part. We look at it as this, oh goodness, I'm about to, you know, be somebody's lunch and I don't want that. But there's also this element of connectivity that's essential to our survival. And whether you trace it back biologically, and if you're listening to this right now and you're kind of a more of a scientific or an intellectual learner, then a book by Dr. Neil Shubin called Your Inner Fish is going to surprise and delight you. Yes, we are structurally, biologically very, very much alike. Even those species that supposedly we don't share a ton of DNA with, down in our guts and our core, we're wired very much alike. But also on an intuitive level, sometimes we just feel things and no one can talk us out of them. We know what we know, and even our own minds can't convince us to unknow it. And that too, we share in common. Now we can refine that over time. Animal communication is phenomenal. Learning animal communication is phenomenal for helping us awaken our own human intuition. I have found it to be one of the best ways to improve my human-to-human conversations as well, because suddenly I'm listening with my ears full potential. I'm seeing with my eyes full potential. I'm feeling everything that's going on in the conversation. I'm no longer, as you pointed out, just listening to the words. Have you ever listened to somebody and you're like, yeah, their words sound great, but something just isn't adding up for me. Mm-hmm. That's the other piece of our sensory puzzle. We've got these every day. Yeah, I see this thing in front of me. I see my laptop keyboard. Yes, I hear your voice on the phone. Yes, I can touch the mouse pad and feel the ground under my feet. But what about these higher level faculties, the intuitive abilities in our senses that were just the nonverbal parts of our senses? And we all have those. I like to say that people are from Mars and pets are from Venus, because we communicate kind of backwards. You know, we're 90% verbal and 10% sensory. The animals are wired the other way around. They're 90% sensory, 10% verbal or intellectual. And that is because we cannot be up in our heads contemplating the past or forecasting the future if we want to survive from breakfast to lunch and lunch to dinner. We have to be right here, right now, experiencing what is there to be experienced right here and right now. That's why our animals are so good at loving us, because they're right here with us right now. So we have a lot that we can learn from them. For willing human students, animals make excellent teachers.
I think that's a great place to take our first break. So let's do that. You're listening to Living in the Solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Cutts, and I think you did just an elegant job of, you know, drawing the connection that people really just run over. And one of the things that struck me as you were speaking is that it's the authenticity of the pet. There's no cloaking, there's no subterfuge, there's no ulterior motive. It's just pure. How often do we ever get to experience that with a human? It's really a gift to have a pet.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Truly it is. And yet when we first enter into that new relationship, we don't always realize that incredible and unconditional doesn't mean simple or easy. And I feel like I've been chatting with several here and there on several different podcasts these past couple of weeks, and we've been talking about that isolation or that loneliness or that information overload or that overwhelm that can set in when we encounter issues or problems in our relationship. When we welcome a new cat or a dog or a parrot or a reptile or a small furry, as my friend and colleague Amy says, into our lives, and we expect them to behave one way and they behave differently, or we expect them to have a certain kind of personality and they turn out to have a different kind of personality, or we don't realize that they come into our lives carrying some trauma or having been through relinquishments or kind of battling some health issues, and we don't know, it's right in front of us, but we don't know what we're looking at. And so we go through these growing pains in our relationships. And here it's not really any different than when we form a significant relationship with another human. The intention to love, to care for is there. The skill, the ability, the knowledge to really help us put that into practice, it's not always there. And it feels like that's a lot of the work that you do, perhaps with other humans as well as animals, is, you know, taking that knowledge to the next level, opening our eyes to some of the new tools that are out there, the newer tools. Maybe they're not as discussed. Maybe they're not as accepted in some circles of society that we've been a part of. And so our animals will stretch us out of our comfort zones. Our animals will ask us to try on new perspectives for size. Our animals may be the ones who send us to so-called holistic or alternative health practices, because what we've always done and the only thing that we've ever known, it's not working. And our relationship is kind of foundering because of it. And so it's that underpinning of unconditional love that motivates us to try something new and to grow. So I don't want, you know, maybe a newbie pet parent listening to us chatting today and going, oh, you know, it's supposed to be so unconditional and so loving. And yeah, but that doesn't mean it's simple or easy. It can be really uncomfortable. It can be super stressful. It can be really frustrating. And I want to acknowledge that, you know, these unconditionally loving relationships, We don't tend at the end of our lives to look back and realize, you know, we've had hundreds and hundreds or thousands and thousands of them. We've had a handful because they are such intense growing and learning experiences that that's about all we can handle. And it doesn't really matter what species they are.
Well, what strikes me from what you just said is that it's a two-way street. It's not just one side. You just put it out there and it comes back at you. It seems that whatever we put out reflects back at us through the pet, right? So anxiety or depression, or if you're ill, the pet does, there's a symbiosis with that, right? Don't they take on and reflect that back a little bit in the sense of a
caring? I just love what you just said, Dr. George. And I want to encourage anyone who's listening and is kind of like, what the heck are they talking about? I'm fascinated, but I don't know what they just said. Go watch the now classic movie, E.T. And notice what happens when the little alien, E.T., and the little boy form a bond. and notice how it's one of the best movies I've ever found to really explain animal communication without necessarily using any words. We get it. This is a really good example of you just get something, there's something special going on here, but I don't know how to explain it in words. And so, yes, it can be a two-way street. It's not uncommon for me to chat with a pet parent and their animal is mirroring or modeling something that's going on with them. That's one of the love languages that we employ when we really, really love someone and we may not know we're doing it. It's also not uncommon for us to almost, like you said, the symbiosis almost take on or try to take on the challenges of someone we love. I've had to actually sit with my own pets and encourage my human clients to do this with their animals and say, no, 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 you don't have to bleed. I've got this. No, 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 you don't have to, you don't have to take this on for me. I'm working on this myself. And I've had experiences. The bleeding was my soul bird, Pearl, who lived for 24 years. And periodically, I would go through serious hormone disruptions and my thyroid broke down. And he would start bleeding.
Wow.
He would start pooping blood. And I worked with traditional and then holistic veterinarians and then animal communicators. And that's kind of in a sort of a circuitous way. That's how I ended up doing what I'm doing today. So please do know, if you're listening to this, I'm not preaching at you or lecturing to you. I know that of which I speak. I've been through and no doubt will be there again. These uncomfortable growth and evolutionary processes, because we just don't stop trying. So I've had to sit with my own companion animals and say, no, 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 you don't have to act this out. You don't have to try to take this on for me, even though that's what love tries to do. Mm-hmm. I've got this. I'm working on this. Your job is to be healthy and happy and be my love. You know, and sometimes we have to be that clear. The close nature of the connection between the human and a companion animal, we don't really stop to think about how unusual it is that animals, the non-human animals in our lives, only have one job to do, and that's to be our companion. That's really only evolved over the last century or so. Once we invented the car, so much about how we live changed, and that's where we see, you know, some really unusual development. We see working animals who are kind of almost railroaded into these companion roles that they're not necessarily temperamentally or behaviorally or just genetically really all that suited for, because we, the humans, crave animal company so much, but we don't have the ability to give them some of the natural outlets that they are genetically wired to need and crave. And that's a whole other topic.
I'm sure. You know, from the standpoint of that communication, and again, you mentioned a soul contract between the pet and their loved one.
Absolutely.
You mentioned that you can learn why they chose you and what they want to teach you. Is this by just being able to commune with your pet, or is this something that we can use your services to go down that path to learn?
Well, there's two tracks, you know, and what I often recommend is when you're kind of in a crisis moment, or you're in a tough spot, or you're in a moment of decision, or, you know, you're kind of at a fork in the road, you're not really sure what's going on or which way to go, that's not the moment to drop everything and learn to talk to your own pet. Mm. So that's, you know, I spent years hiring animal communicators to talk with my interspecies family, because that was what worked for me in my life at that time. I had a different career. I was a full-time freelance writer and a nonprofit director, and I didn't have the wherewithal to learn. And by learn, I don't just mean take a weekend workshop. I mean, you got to, you know, like any skill, maybe you have the intuitive pathways, we all have them, but we still need to activate them, strengthen them, and practice with them. And so, yes, absolutely. That soul contract comes through regularly with my human and animal clients, because there are no accidents. So if you're keeping close company with an animal, understand there is a soul contract in place. There is a reason why the two of you are connected and keeping such close company together, and why you two, there is a reason. And so, and that animal is choosing to be in it, And you are choosing to be in it. And that in itself is significant in this era of too many choices that we are all living in. But, you know, there's also that second track. And, you know, many of my human clients have gone on to take workshops with me and learn to communicate with their own pets. I have one student who's really passionate about wild animals and wanting to work with wild endangered species and helping to foster more understanding with, you know, environmentalists and conservationists and biologists who are working with these species to preserve them. I have another student who's really passionate about working with rescued dogs, and she wants to help them find better placements and you know, secure them by any means possible, the very best new forever home that turns out to be a real forever home. And, you know, so those are some of the many reasons that for me, it just really started with wanting to talk with my own animals and realizing that that was already happening. I just didn't understand, you know, sometimes we just don't have that mirrored back to us in our own lives. So we don't realize my animal's talking to me because we don't see nobody in our life talks about that. So we just don't know it's happening. Mm-hmm. It took a professional animal communicator that I worked with very regularly to finally say to me, you know, Shannon, you can do this. And that was the first time anybody's ever told me that.
Well, that must have been liberating.
You know, and it's significant when we have that mentoring, when we have those believing eyes, when we have somebody who knows that of which they speak. And they tell us that it's like it opens up a whole new world of possibilities. So, you know, for me, I feel like just because this is my experience, the very best way to experience what animal communication is to have a session with a professional communicator. Maybe several, maybe work with two or three, because there's a lot of teachers out there. There's a lot of communicators out there, more than we realize. And there's no substitute for experiencing it. Oh my goodness, she really did just, or he just really did connect in with my animal. Okay. Because there's no other way that he or she could have known that. You know, so we have that internal intuitive validation. Suddenly we know something that we can't unknow. And so our intuition naturally activates and we get curious and we wonder. And Einstein famously once said, we have two choices in life. We can live as if nothing is a miracle or as if everything is a miracle.
Let's hold that thought and let's take our second break, because I think we need to discuss the other side of this when their pets are in extremis or we're losing them at the end of their life. So that touches us quite a bit. And I want to just discuss that when we come back. So let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Schutt, and we're speaking about animal love languages, and you can go to her website, animallovelanguages.com. And before the break, we talked about the vibrance of being blessed to share your life with a pet, no matter what species that is. But unfortunately, we all know that things happen, and I've lost 3 or 4 pets, and it's just devastating every time it's happened to me. And, you know, from the pet standpoint, they don't see, you know, life is the same way, right? They don't have this fear that we do of death. And how do we connect with them? How do we connect or survive really and thrive after losing a pet? Because it seems like it's such a finite thing, but there's a bigger picture, isn't there?
Absolutely. The biggest challenge that we human animals have with loss, it's not that non-human animals don't grieve. In fact, there are plentiful stories of wild nature. We see the ingathering, we see the grieving in primates, in elephants, in all sorts of different species, in birds, in dogs and cats. It's very important, you know, when we're losing an animal, to, if there are other animals in the family, to offer them an opportunity to say their goodbyes as well and to experience what's going on with their family member so that they have some closure as well. So it's not that this is something unique to us that we grieve. It's that we get stuck up in our heads. And we have, again, we feel intuitively that the love is still there. The craving for connection is still there. It's just there's something missing, and it's that animal's physical body. And mm-hmm. because of that, because we can't see our animal, we can't touch them, we can't hold them the way that we used to. We, you know, they're no longer accessible to our physical, concrete, gross physical senses. Our mind kicks in and says, there is no more relationship. There's no more ability to be connected. There's no outlet for this love that I still feel. That's not accurate. But we literally, it's like the fountain was flowing and we head over and we turn off the master water switch. We do it. Even though there's a part of us that's screaming from inside, no, if the love's still there, the connection's still alive. And what happens is that animal has transitioned to their spirit, the spirit side, and to their spirit body. And that animal is still very much trying to connect, trying to reconnect, trying to reestablish connection. And we're up in our heads just arm wrestling our intuition to the ground. And it's a very, I mean, grief is going to happen, but we don't allow ourselves to go to move through it. Instead, we head right up on into our head and we get stuck there. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, it's a bigger, we're just so fun. We're so, I can close in our own physical bodies. We can't really, unless we really try to extend mm-hmm. and be in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they are. They're in the moment, aren't they? It's not what happened before, not really what's going to happen. It's just present.
Well, it's necessary. Our companion animals sometimes tend to get a little stuck just because they don't have some of the natural outlet mm. for releasing stress, releasing trauma. And that's a different topic for probably another whole podcast. But generally speaking, our animals come to us still wild at their core of cores, their deepest, you know, cellular level. They're still wired to remain present focused because that is what keeps them alive. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, however, that may apply while they're still alive and vibrant physically as well as emotionally, mentally, on the, you know, heart and the spirit level. But when it comes close to the actual end of life process, the death process, or the, what I like to call preferably the transition process, mm-hmm. it's not so different. And I share this because I shepherded my own father through his end of life process 2 years ago. And I saw the same things happening with him as have happened with animal loves that I've known that I've helped to transition, and even my human clients' animals, is there tends to be I see it in my head. It's hard for me to describe it in words, but we're not going someplace unfamiliar. We're heading back over to a place we've been to before, a place we actually came from to come here, and we're going back. So the analogy would be similar to you've got two houses. You've got your regular house that you live in for an extended period of time, and then you've got your vacation house. And so basically what's going on is the animal's awareness is transitioning away from the physical body, away from the, you know, so-called permanent residence, and is kind of projecting out into, I'm going to my wonderful vacation home that I actually love, where I go to rest, where I go to rejuvenate, I go to relax, I go to refresh and replenish and fill back up again. And they're also reconnecting with other spirit loves that they, you know, they're not in their physical bodies right now. And one of the big questions that my human clients often ask me when I'm talking with their animal love and spirit is who was there to meet them mm-hmm. and who are they with now? Mm. And so it's important to remember we're not, and I saw that with my father too. Suddenly he started seeing people that he loved, people that I didn't even know, people from earlier in his life, and he started talking with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was kind of in a coma, so he was kind of in and out of what we call, you know, earth or physical consciousness. You know, there'd be moments where he would be more aware and a little bit more present with us, but there was a good chunk of time, 60-75% there at the very end, where he was really clearly dwelling on the other side. And so what we're doing is we're kind of, it's like when you watch birds and they get together as a group and they do these beautiful murmurations, these group flight dances in the sky, and they're practicing for the long migration. So that's what happens during the end of life process, is the animal's soul body is preparing and kind of practicing, and they're popping over to the spirit side and they're coming back here and they're popping out and they're coming back here. So what looks like extreme discomfort sometimes for us, what looks really scary to us, or mm-hmm. when we don't quite know what's going on, they're not experiencing it the same way that we are. Mm-hmm. And they're just getting ready. And so, you know, this process is the same regardless of what species we are. If we have, you know, more of an extended natural death. Now, sometimes with our animals, for a whole wide variety of reasons, we end up assisting them mm-hmm. to cross over with euthanasia and things. And thankfully, pet hospice care is growing. Mm. It's a service that's growing in popularity. So now more veterinarians are offering it, and that's a good thing for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And here, all I can say is, you know, because another one of the big questions that my human clients often have is, did I wait too long, or did I not wait long enough? Did I cut their life short? And the thing that I reference back here is, I've never had an animal tell me, you robbed me of time, or you made me suffer unnecessarily. The timing is always right, because we're always, at least right now, the way that our legal system is, we're able to be so much more compassionate with our non-human animal loves than we are with our own human loves. You know, we're allowed to assist them, to make the process gentler for them. And I've never had an animal express anything but gratitude. And I've spoken with hundreds of animals who've crossed over. So, you know, it's important, if you're listening right now and you're kind of wrestling with that, you know, did I send them away too early? Did I rob them of some time, or did I make them suffer? The answer is no. And your animal is going to have a message for you around that. But the animals themselves, this whole process, they're not present the way that we are. They're having their own experience, and it's very important for us. This is a huge part of our own evolution and our own soul awakening process, is to go through this end of life transition with our animals. If we're fully open to it, if our hearts are fully open to it, it can calm some of our own fears and kind of reawaken us to, oh, that's right, I've done this before as well. And I can stay connected with my animal even when their body is no longer able to serve them.
Do you think it actually enhances our ability to feel empathy?
Absolutely.
I mean, we need a lot more of that in this society, for sure.
Absolutely. You know, animals are natural empaths. And sometimes, because of the nature of our need for their companionship, we can actually, you know, we can get so attached to their company that, and you mentioned this earlier, it's hard for us to imagine us without them. And that can actually even border a little bit on kind of a codependent connection or mm-hmm. relationship that doesn't allow that animal to have their own very natural trajectory. You know, it's still all too easy, although I think it's changing now. And I feel like we really are kind of waking up to the consciousness, the sentience of our non-human animal planet mates, but it's still all too easy to kind of look at our pets as accessories. You know, they're here to serve us. And the truth is, and this is, you know, straight from the animals' mouths, the animals also come here because they're growing and they're evolving and they have their own soul blueprint. They have their own reasons to come here. And part of that is, I had one animal client a few weeks ago who told her human parent, I really wanted a natural death. And even though you thought you failed me because you couldn't get me to the vet in time for euthanasia and I passed naturally, she said, you gave me such a gift because I wanted to have, that's one of the reasons I came here, is I wanted to experience a natural transition. And so we can, even if we beat up on ourselves, when if we just talk to our pet, we can find out that may have been one of their big bucket list reasons for coming here in the first place.
That's amazing. Okay, I just want to let everybody just think about that and feel that. So let's take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. Again, you can go to her website, animallovelanguages.com, and there's a lot of, it's a wealth of information, things about your newsletter. You also have a podcast, am I correct?
I do. I always love connecting with fellow podcasters. Let's Talk to Animals is now in our fourth season. We've featured some amazing, amazing guests from around the world. Animal intuitives, holistic veterinarians, traditional veterinarians, naturopaths, experts in all kinds of complementary fields, and pet parents sharing their direct experiences with animal communication. I also share my own personal stories of working with animals and their humans and my own experiences, especially most recently and pertinent to the conversation that we were just having. I just recently lost my soul bird, Pearl, who'd been with me since he was a five-week-old chick, and he was 24 when he passed unexpectedly. And I share as raw and unvarnished as you can get how difficult that experience was for me, and yet how, because I know animal communication, because I know how I practice this skill and I am open, I've opened these intuitive pathways, how Pearl himself was the one, in fact, the only one who could get me through that. Mm. And now he's come back to me as Petal, my 15-week-old cockatiel. And it's just an amazing story. So you can find lots and lots of information. You can find personal stories and great resources on Let's Talk to Animals. And we're everywhere, just like you are, no doubt, Dr. George. Mm-hmm. And no, if you can't find us on your favorite streaming platform, let me know and I will do my best. We've also got plenty of free tools to help you activate your pet parent intuition. Everything from a 6-day animal communication camp to a 4-part intuitive pet parent workshop and a really fun channeled tool called Why You Pick Me, where you can learn more about, you know, if you're one of those people who has kind of a favorite species, like I just have to have a dog in my life or I cannot live without feathers, then you can learn more about what in your spirit craves the company of that species and part of the soul lesson that they may be in your life to teach you. So lots of fun free tools, blogs and videos and all kinds of good stuff. I want to encourage anyone who's listening, who's really getting curious about animal communication, to consider signing up for my weekly love letter. Not only will you receive access once a week to all of these wonderful tools and breaking news, but you will receive a $25 off discount code if you've never had an animal communication session before. This is a great way to experience it, like we were talking about earlier. So I do want to encourage everyone to give it a go and see what there is to be experienced by talking with your pet directly.
I think that's an excellent idea. And just to be clear, you're talking about communication with either a living pet or one that's crossed over, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. It's cathartic, and I've done it for pets that I've lost in the past, and it just made me understand them and love them even more. And you just stop grieving the same way because you know it's love doesn't die and your relationship isn't gone. You just have to think about it a different way and approach it a different way.
Absolutely. And, you know, there have been many, many transitions of late, especially over the past couple of years, we can look at and we can intellectualize the events of, you know, pre-pandemic versus in the pandemic, and now we're kind of coming out of it, and on so many levels, but at a soul level, it's a wake-up call. It's asking us to come back home to ourselves and to ask ourselves important questions. We stop knowing all the answers. We start asking some really good questions and learning things that we didn't even know were there for us to learn. And one of those questions is the relationship gone when the body is no longer viable? Mm-hmm. And it's not for me to tell you, dear listener, whether or not that is a yes or a no answer. It's a question that you get to ask yourself and feel what feels true for you. And if you need more information, connecting with a love and spirit is a great way to seek that information. And again, but even after you've got it, you've got to go back to your own heart, to your own gut. In fact, if you're listening right now, I want you to notice if your hands have moved to a particular part of your body, because that's, chances are good, that is where you get your vibes and your hunches and your aha moments and your intuitive hits. And that's the part of you that you need to pay attention to when you're asking yourself these really good questions. You know, anything from, am I doing work that's meaningful to me that I really love, to am I keeping company? Am I investing, not spending, but investing my precious time, my irreplaceable time with beings who truly love me for who I am? And you can feel the answer. You know, you can, because your body reacts. Like when I ask myself that question, my gut sucks in. You know, my hand goes to my heart, to my chest, and I have a visceral physical reaction. It's not that animal communication can't be very practical. There's so many levels, you know, that we can have a conversation on. We can have the chit chat conversation. We can have the functional conversation. We can have the soul level conversation. We can have the venting conversation. Sometimes animals, when I start a session, it's always open-ended at the beginning. I ask that animal to just share a bit about themselves with me, just so I can get to know their, you know, their personality. Who are you in this body, in this lifetime? You know, what are you all about? But then before I dive into my question, you know, which are fueled by what their human wants to know, well, how is your digestion? You know, you don't just go marching up to somebody you've never met and say, tell me about your bowel function. Well, I mean, maybe if you're a doctor,
yeah, you, but you're a GI doctor.
And then that the client is paying for it, and that's what they're there for. But, you know, I want that animal to have a chance to get off their chest anything they, and sometimes they do need to vent a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. even if it's about their annoying younger brother or the fact that, you know, they're worried about their human all the time or whatever's going on. And then we can get to the nitty gritty, you know. So there's this peeling back of the layers so that we can be more honest with ourselves. There's a wonderful quote, and I think it was, her name is just Marianne Williamson, who talks about, you know, when we are brave enough to let our light shine, then others take courage from that, and we, in a way, give them permission to do the same. It's like, again, we've got those believing eyes. We've got that mirror. We've got that mentorship in our life, and our animals do serve as mentors that way because they do love us unconditionally. And so if we're paying attention, we can use that as an invitation to be more loving, unconditionally loving with ourselves. And that starts with listening to ourselves. Again, that very same deep listening, being really honest about what we feel, not what we think, not what we've been told to believe, but what we really feel and what is true for us.
If you're able to tap into that, I think that gives you just resilience. So everything that's coming at you from outside, you know, God forbid you're listening to anything on the news or anything, it just has a perspective.
Right?
I just don't even, but you mean, it gives you a sense of foundation and a perspective, and you can just let it go, just leave it alone, because it's not your truth. And it's not the truth most of the time, quite frankly. But if you can actually have that center, and love drives everything, doesn't it? It's what you're describing. This is an essence, and you trying to access and live from that space, everything else just seems to not really matter if it's against that.
It just fades. It fades into the background because there's something called entrainment, and keeping company with a, you know, a pure, very high vibration, heart-centric being. It, we quite naturally entrain to that, but only if we open up a little time and space for that to happen. I spent time in India many years ago. I actually lived there for a while. And one of the parables that I heard while I was there, basically one of the monks told me, if you look into the eyes of a child 2 years old or younger, you look straight into the eyes of God. And I feel that way with my animals. If I actually take a moment and I just sit with them, I don't have to stare into their eyes. I mean, if your animal doesn't get freaked out by that, go ahead. But, you know, just keeping company and just feeling their energy, it's like you can feel it. You can start to feel this pure high vibration, and it naturally gives you this inner resilience and this inner brave, because you come back home to yourself and you remember, oh, that's right. This is what's most important.
Wow.
This, if I can anchor to this, and it gives, not only does it gives us resilience, it gives us brave, it gives us empathy, because we have a little bright moment and we can take that with us into the parts of our life that aren't working, into the areas where we're frustrated or we feel stuck or blocked or unwell, into the difficult interactions, into the conversations with people that maybe aren't nice to us. They aren't pleasant. They aren't helpful. And we can choose, we can say, yeah, that, you know, I could be snarky too, or I could remember that I have someone in my life who loves me unconditionally, and not everyone has that. And I can choose to smile, and I can choose to be with that other person, and I can choose to try to lighten their load a little. You know, and just, it's about being very, very grateful on a minute-by-minute basis with these very small, bright being experiences in our life that, and we just, you know, we string together these little miracles, and suddenly, like Einstein says, everything really is a miracle.
I think that's a great place to stop. It's, our show goes so quickly. And we didn't even get a chance, and I really would love to have you back on to speak about the pet energy healing and, you know, the
Absolutely.
Other side and the things in our environment that's toxic to them so that we can protect them. They do so much for us.
Absolutely.
We need to learn how to be a little wall for them. I'll put them in a little bubble.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that you want to talk about that, because there's a lot that can be done.
Awesome.
There's a lot. There are a lot of tools. But again, it's just taking the time and researching and knowing where to look. And so, yeah, can definitely help with that.
Excellent. I look forward to having you back. And I want to thank you so much for your time, because you were outstanding. I feel empowered. I feel, in, you know, lighter. And I guess can't wait to go and hug my pet.
That makes me really happy. I'm going to go kiss my pet on the top of her feathery head. I'm going to go scratch some shells and hug some fur.
Way to go. So thanks again for joining me.
Dr. George, it's been a delight. Thank you, dear listener, for spending a little bit of your precious free time and energy with us today.
Well, on that note, thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.